You're listening to The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back! Welcome back to The Good Morning Show, Oliver O.T. Thomas. Yeah, after the break, man, O.T. and the early bird on a Friday. Look, it's a little damp out there. Hey, Jasmine, and little Ollie Thomas, OB, man. Hope y'all driving safely. Have a wonderful day. Greatest woman in the world, Jazz, and little Ollie and Willow, man. Ain't nothing like family, y'all. Keeps you motivated. Has to be the priority of all of our lives, JT, Jeff Thomas.
No doubt, bro.
Wait, man, look, welcome back, 7:33 a.m. in the morning.
I'm here, on time.
The moment we waited for, we can't wait. Every month we get a dose of one of the number one bloggers, editors, writers, social media commentators, on top of all issues, Mr. Jeff, 504, making New Orleans.
Think. 504.
In the house with us, man. Hey, Jay. Hey, everybody out in Facebook land, man. God bless y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in to the show. Keeping it real. You may not always like what we say, but we don't cut it. We don't put no cut on it.
No, sir. No, sir. Right? We bring it to you real and raw.
And we don't put no fentanyl in it.
That's deadly, man. Ooh, man, that's killing people.
We give it to you. We give you. You might not like the information, but we give it to you so you can mix it up in your own mind and your own heart and determine how you want to use it. We want to thank Healthcare. Man, quality, affordable coverage, man. Susan Henry and the management here at WBOK and Bakewell Media, the Greater New Orleans Tourism Commission, Avis Brock, the Great. We want to thank everyone, man, that's involved in Donatus King, man, good brother. Thank you so much for your sponsorship during those really, really lean times that we were having. Donatus King and Associates, an attorney, wonderful brother. Women on the Move, Roberta Brown and her group, Cynthia Wiggins and the Gus Management for their advertising. Wonderful people, man. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring. Brother Troy Henry out there, man, one of our great intellectuals and leaders, one of the top engineers in this country out there. Hopefully he'll stay involved. All of our elected officials, those who say they're always listening, we pray for you guys. We not always agree with you, but we actually want you to succeed, JT. Isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely, positively, without a doubt.
And just because we challenge doesn't mean we're against you. It actually means we're for you. Glenn Allen, you're the best ever did it, man.
Right, exactly right. You know, I get that a lot when I talk to elected officials offline, and they're like, man, why are you so hard on us? I'm like, brother, I think it's important that we all do great. It's up to you. I'm on Facebook Live. Look at me. Hey,
That's right.
OT, wait a minute. Yeah. I got a face for radio and a voice for writing. Now you got me on the internet. I might break the internet, though, in a bad way.
Man, I had a lady who listens to the show every time you're on, and she says, you know what? He sound cute.
Oh, man. Well, you know, she gets to see me. She gets it real now. It is. I'm sorry to disappoint you, ma'am, but, you know, I do my best when I wake up in the morning.
You do your best. Well, first of all, Jeff, before we get into our agenda, we got Quincy Williams coming later, too,
man. Yeah, I heard you say that
commentator,
earlier. I'm going to be listening.
Tough young brother. What have you been up to, man?
You know, working hard. You know, I tell you what. We're going to get into this segment later.
We're going to get into this agenda. But I want to know what's up. People want to know what's up with Jeff J.T. Thomas.
You know, this is my time of the year. Football season is coming around. I'm really excited about the Saints. I'm really excited. I saw Tulane, like you said earlier, had a great game. Lost in overtime, I thought. But maybe, you know, let me tell you.
Looks like progress.
Progress, but it's time out for moral victories. They got to start winning some games.
No doubt about it. Moral victories, I don't even know if moral victories get you into heaven.
I think they don't.
I think heaven wants some warriors who can win.
Right. But, you know, for me, the most important football that I like to watch is high school football. I mean, to me, it's real. I like high school sports. I mean, your bang for your buck is there. You get to see kids trying their best. Mm-hmm. All of the emotions in sports, you know, stick-to-itiveness, work hard, overcoming adversity, winning, losing, how you do it right.
You know, I've said that on the show, every year around this time, Roe Brown always encourages people to, is that, man, you know, we need to show up at those high school games. I used to go with my cousin Troy or Russ, and I used to go with my cousin Dorian Rawls a lot too. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna
Dorian's your cousin?
Yeah, definitely gonna go. Right. They got a lot of cheering in my family. Right?
I get it. Big brother, you know.
Lee's
your cousin. God, really?
My mama was one of nine. Huh. I think my grandmother was 13. I think my grandfather was 14.
Right.
I think my mama's sister had 11. Her brother had 12. My daddy's brother had 11. His other brother had 7 daughters.
Wow.
Another one had 8. My mama only had 5.
Right.
My mama's first cousin had 19.
Right. So that is a big family. When y'all have, I saw something somewhere on Facebook, this Charbonnet family reunion.
Yeah.
They had about 500 people in this picture.
Plenty,
y'all have the same thing.
Plenty of children.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
Children. I'm going to Ben Franklin today to speak, so I have to be proper.
Yes, you do.
I got to keep it Ben Franklin.
Yes, you
And you
do.
Know what that means. Keep it 100.
That's right. But, you know, listen, those are Ben Franklin kids, so you have to talk like this. I mean, let's keep it real.
We're going to keep it Ben Franklin. We're going to keep it Ben Franklin.
I'm with you, brother.
Well, Jeff, you look good. You sound good.
Thank you.
You for what you do, but we also, man, we got some your thoughts on the Saints. But look, the Saints, I'm scared because the Saints look so good,
don't they? It's amazing. And that move they made for Teddy Bridgewater,
even with the second and third,
smart move, I tell you.
Teddy Bridgewater can play.
He can play, and I think he's going to be their future. And in the event, you know, Drew Brees is about to be 40 years old.
Drew Brees is 132 years
right,
old.
And,
Drew Brees is almost old as Roe Brown.
I don't know about that, but you got me going in on Roe. I'm sorry, Roe. I didn't mean that. But, you know, in football, on any given play, anything can go wrong at any time. And so you're one play wrong away from disaster. And if Drew Brees were to go down, and if they had kept Hill and Savage, they'd be in serious trouble. This team has a good opportunity. I talked to Roe earlier in the year, and he said he thinks this team is going to be great, and I agree with him. This is probably one of the best teams the Saints have had since they won the Super Bowl.
Hopefully they put my man from Ohio State on the practice squad.
I think they will. Yeah, JT Barrett.
JT Barrett.
He's got the right initials.
He's got some good quality, comes from a good program,
and he's
a great young leader.
That's right.
That's what I like
about
him.
And he has talent.
That's the good thing.
He has strong arm, and he's a leader, like you said. I think he has everything in
But how do you like in the Saints' second and third? You know, as a former athlete, someone who played college ball and high school ball, played in the summer pro leagues a couple of times, went a little basketball, wasn't good enough to go anywhere else, but I was good enough to at least get them to pay for my education.
You know,
have a good team when a folk coming off the bench perform.
Right. Yeah, listen, this team has more depth than I've ever seen. The offensive and defensive lines, I mean, people that they're going to cut are going to make the rosters of other teams.
There's no doubt about it.
So the secondary is stacked. The defensive line is stacked. The offensive line has a bunch of players.
They got cornerbacks.
Wide receivers
in the middle of the room backs.
Sure. And like they say in New Orleans, buku. We got buku.
You heard it?
For real. We got buku wide receivers.
So what you predicting for the Saints season?
You know, they have a tough schedule because they did so well last year. I think they'll make the playoffs. I hope they can win the division again. And if they do, then once they're in the playoffs, I think that team is built to win the playoffs.
Let me
go to the Super Bowl.
Let me say this. I've never done it before.
Okay.
Listen close.
I'm listening.
Saints going to Super Bowl.
Oh, you predicting that? That's your prediction. Super Bowl or bust.
Hold on. Let me talk to the Early Bird a minute.
Okay.
Early Bird. What you say? You said the big eagle in the sky. Say what? Saints going to Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. All right, I like it.
Drew Brees stay healthy.
And
Kamara stay healthy.
That's right. And they come back. They bring Ingram back. Is Ingram going to perform?
Ingram going to be rested, man.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Running against tired defensive lines. They've been playing for 4 weeks.
This is a good point. And listen, Michael Thomas is a great wide receiver.
Michael Thomas is a big. All them Thomases are something.
You know, if your last name is Thomas, you know, you're a special cat.
One way or the other.
Exactly right. So I think they can win 12 games if they have a great season. I'm saying
13-3. 13-3.
Wow, that would be. They have a tough schedule.
I know.
Have you looked at the schedule?
Well, they ranked the third best team in the league.
Is that right? I didn't see that.
I think they're in the top three. I'm saying 13-3.
Okay, all right.
Or better. Look.
It's all going to depend upon the defense.
And injuries.
Right? We know the defense and injuries, right? We know the offense is going to put up points. Drew Brees is going to have 10,000 miles, 10,000 yards. That's the schedule, thankfully.
Yeah.
Exactly right. I mean, I think they could start off going 5-1, 6-2.
Who's the one?
The one would be Atlanta. I think they go to Atlanta. The first two games, Tampa and Cleveland,
They're going to punch Atlanta in the mouth.
At Atlanta, they usually split with Atlanta. Yeah. They're going to Atlanta early in the year. Atlanta's going to be good this year, too.
Yeah.
So I see them going 2-1. Then they got the Giants and Redskins. That's 2 more wins. So that's 4-1. At Baltimore, I don't know what Baltimore's going to be. I think they're in trouble, 5-1. At Minnesota, I see it being a loss of 5-2. The Rams here could go either way. I'm going to go 5-3. They lose that one. At Cincinnati, they win 6-3. Philadelphia here, they win 7-3. Atlanta here, they win 8-3. At Dallas, they win 9-3. At Tampa, 10-3. At Carolina, 11-3 No, they lose to Carolina. It was that be 10-4 to get the Pittsburgh Steelers in Carolina. They split with Carolina.
Yeah.
So I see them winning 12 games.
The only thing
Pittsburgh and Carolina last two games.
The only thing about Atlanta that worries me, Atlanta got Black Jesus on their team.
Who's that?
Julio Jones.
As great as Atlanta. He is as a physical specimen. In big games, he seems to not perform. I don't know.
That's Black G.
All right. I'm not convinced that Julio is that great. I think he looks good. He looks the part. Man. But I haven't seen him produce on the field yet.
Julio Jones. Put the thorns on his head, man.
All right. I'm with you.
Put the thorns on his head. As a matter of fact, Ricky Jackson's going to be coming in with us next Thursday. Absolutely.
Oh, really? The Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer.
Why don't they have a statue?
Right.
Ricky Jackson. Why hasn't his jersey been retired?
Right.
Or why don't we have a statue of the Dome Patrol, the number one linebacker corps of all time?
Yet you have Archie Manning's jersey up there. How can that be? Archie Manning won nothing. Zero.
Archie ran for his life.
He may have been great. Who knows? We don't know.
Oh, he was a great athlete.
Okay, maybe.
He
could run. Great. Let me just say, he had great sons who were great quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But I'm not so certain that he didn't have talent around him, so it's hard to judge.
But
great quarterbacks usually make teams great. He didn't do that. So, listen.
Archie was a great athlete.
And I'm getting in trouble. Ricky, everybody loves Archie Manning in New Orleans.
Ricky Jackson was the Saints.
Well, there you go. And why is his – I think his jersey is in the dome.
No. I never saw it.
I think it is. Rube wouldn't know.
No.
His jersey, his number's not retired.
Not retired.
Are you sure about that?
There was a linebacker named Hawthorne that wore it last couple of years.
I know somebody's been wearing it, but I think his jersey number is up in the rafters.
No, you can't.
How does somebody retire
it and wear it?
I feel you. Right. That's right. But Ricky, Saints have had three Hall of Famers in the history, right?
Ricky Jackson first.
Right.
Willie Rofe.
Martin Anderson. That's it. Three Hall of Famers in the history of the team. We got Drew Brees will be the next one.
And the beauty of Ricky Jackson, I think Pat Swillen Pat Swillen with what he did at a rush in quickness. Coming off that edge linebacker. Of course, you had Ricky Jackson, Vaughn Johnson, and Sam Mills on the other side.
So it was easier
but
for him.
With some of the people they're putting in the Hall of Fame, Pat ought to be in the Hall of Fame too.
Well, he was an NFC Defensive Player of the Year. That's right. He constantly brought pressure.
Constantly.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, people don't give him his props. I agree.
I think because he played with Ricky Jackson.
Right.
I think everybody on that core ought to be in the Hall, and I think because they were such a great unit.
That's right. That unit
individually
is the best linebacking core, like you say, in the history of the NFL. Those guys.
But Ricky Jackson was like running in the concrete.
Well, you remember, Ricky Jackson never missed a game, never missed a practice until one time. He drove his Corvette 900 miles an hour into a brick wall.
Special helmet.
Yes, and he still played. I mean, that guy was a physical specimen and a great talent,
And the beauty about Ricky is that, and just like Pat, he doesn't get enough credit, was their resources and their commitment to this city.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
Pat Swillen does not get his due. The thing about all the pro athletes who went through this town, who've made millions of dollars, where is their plaza? Where do we see their money?
Look at Jeffrey DeRosley on your Facebook Live. I'm sorry.
Hey, Jeff.
You distracted me. Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey, Jeff, where do we see the stuff that they put in this community? Pat Swillen and Ricky Jackson, you can see them around town. They put their money where their talent was.
Right. I got a funny Pat Swillen story. Pat does a lot of construction work, property development. And he does a lot of work himself, and I always see him in Home Depot. And he drives this old raggedy F-250 white truck.
Well, when you got a lot of money, you don't have to stunt. Well, look, it's so, those of us who are broke who have to drive a nice car to prove to ourselves we got something.
Well, so this brother who I don't know his name, but I see him in Home Depot too. He's another contractor. And I was loading my truck. He was loading his truck. And Pat came and was putting some stuff in his truck. He said, man, that's Pat Swilling. That dude was doing bad like that. I said, what you talking about? He said, look at that truck that he's driving on. He got on some old raggedy jeans. I said, man, that dude owns half of New Orleans East. What you talking about? But, you know, just the perception of people's minds.
But that's funny, but it's not.
Right.
One of the problems in our community is that we're so stretched out off bling bling that our margins are so tight.
Right.
That we're not building up cash and generational wealth in our community.
Right, because we care about how people view us,
and how we look.
We spend a lot of money on these. Not how we feel. What's important?
504-260-9265. We're talking to Jeff Thomas, blogger, MrThink504.com. OT coming back. Stacy, how you doing?
You your Facebook was going to go bad. You put my mug up there, and now you got nobody looking.
No, we got people out there, man. Facebook Live, listening, texting at 318-599-9265. We're on with Jeff Thomas, the editor and founder of Think 504. If my hair was a little longer, I would have – I wore my twist.
You would not be allowed to be in this radio station, let me just tell you. Facebook wouldn't have you because it's against the policy because – you know, let me explain. Having that hair is bad for the school. And we only want certain kinds of black people in the school. And you're not going to have hair. We don't like your hair.
But Jeff, the school had a policy, okay?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And if the twists and extensions exceeded the policy,
come on, buddy.
I mean, shouldn't it at least have been clipped to where the policy was?
Let me explain. This is it's very serious. And I think it's important that our people recognize the value of who we are. And we recognize the beauty in who we are and our culture and our styles. and understand that other people view us as not valuable. I'm sorry. And because of that, things that are culturally significant to us are not culturally significant to other people.
Like
hair, your hair. And so
we do care about hair community.
We do. What's important is we have schools that are culturally sensitive, that are culturally welcoming, that welcome with open arms black people. And so we need to have black schools doing great things. So our kids wouldn't have to go be subjected to these kinds of inane, simplistic, racially divisive policies that this school, Christ the King, has had. Now, I have to say that they have changed the policy.
What's the name of the school?
Christ the King.
This is at Christ the King Catholic?
Catholic school.
Catholic school on the West Bank, right?
That's right.
In Tarrytown, I think it is.
Somewhere
on the West Bank. And they had a policy that talked about the length of hair?
Right.
Or was it the type of hair? We're talking about the length.
No, it's that you couldn't have extensions. Basically, you had to have natural hair.
Yeah.
So you couldn't have braids, basically. You couldn't have fake hair put into your hair to brawl it down to its most base level. And so they didn't want kids.
And what happened?
And so the little girl went to school with her hair with
two girls, right?
And they sent them home. They said, "Listen, this violates our policy, and we don't like black people with braids in their hair, and we don't want black people with braids in the hair. So you have to leave." And you know, so I had a conversation with one of my customers, and you know, I have to be sensitive when I'm talking to my customers, and so because they pay my bills, and she was saying that she thought it was inappropriate because the girl had been warned, the policy was clear, and so you can't go to school like that, and that's just the way it is. To which I respond, yeah, that's true, and which is why I think these schools can have their own policies. Mm-hmm. I think these schools can say, you know, we don't like black people, personally. I'd rather know that than to say, well, to build these barriers which make it difficult for black people to be there. To me, that's a sign that they don't really want you there.
Isn't that pushing it a little bit, though, Jeff? You believe that you believe in that conspiracy?
I think that what they want is a certain type of black person. They want you to listen. They want you to kneel they want you to stand with your hand on your heart at the national anthem is sung, and they want you to be subservient. They want you to be assimilative. Socially conditioned. That's exactly right. And so,
and hair is part of that conditioning.
And hair is definitely
part of conforming.
Exactly right. And so, when people and if our culture is outside of that norm that they established,
right.
then we are penalized for that.
Let's go to the line, man. Oh, the lines are lit up. 504-260-9265. The two young women who were put out of sent home from Christ the King Catholic School in Marrero, we see now where they've reached an agreement. But what type of policy is that? Was that policy discriminatory? Was it aimed at these African American kids?
Sure.
Isn't there even a need for such a policy like that, especially since these kids were groomed to the T? We go to lines right now. Line one, Miss Alicia, you're on with OT and JT.
Good morning, OT, JT, Early Bird. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Alicia, good. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Let me go down my line. Yes, I was like you. Between Oliver and Sherman, I think they relate to almost everybody in this city except you and I.
Okay.
They're related to everybody.
I think we cousins, too.
Y'all got to be, because y'all related to so many people.
I think I'm related to
right,
them, too.
Right, right. Yeah, they really are, right, yeah.
I really do.
Y'all are cousins, I bet y'all are.
Because you pretty. All the women in my family are pretty, too.
That's right.
Okay, second thing about the hair.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that really got me is the superintendent of our guys' school is a sister.
Yes, she is.
And some of her comments made me step back and say, wait a minute, hold up.
Mm-hmm.
She should have been the one who had most sensitivity
mm-hmm.
and should have known that that policy needs to be changed.
Right.
And like you, Jeff, I'd rather people be out front too. Tell me.
Right.
Tell me.
That's
but if
right.
you, when you tell me, that means you can't locate your restaurant, your school, on a public street that I pay for.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot get any public dollars
That's right.
at your schools. That I pay for.
That's right.
So fine, put on that no Negroes are allowed, like that play out that y'all did with Anthony B.
Yes, yeah, no ends, no Jews, no dogs. That was it. Used to be signs like that in front of towns as people traveled through the South, and the signs used to read "No ends, no Jews, no dogs." And that
right.
was Smith's play. It was a powerful play that we did at the Bean Theater. Yeah,
it was. So with that disclaimer.
Yes.
Fine, I'm okay with it, but you can't use my public streets.
That's right.
You can't use my public dollars because mm-hmm. I'm not allowed. So if I'm not allowed, my money's not allowed. And lastly,
right.
thank you, Oliver, for making that announcement about
you.
The meeting tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
And at 10 o'clock,
That's
only
right.
2 hours, 10
That's
to 12. And this is going to be another platform for Dr. Bowie to educate and inform parents about what's going on with the school. Act 91, the experiment, one app. Transportation, you have Coach Frank Buckley, you have Kwame Smith, also Step Up Louisiana as a partner, and I'll be on a panel as well. And this came out of, this is what we call this, the first annual Orleans Parish Public School Alumni Association
right.
conference, because like you realize, Clark ain't there no more.
Right. No, none of my schools
Clark
exist anymore.
Ain't there no more. They try not to get 35 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And John Mack ain't there no more.
Right. Yeah.
So we're trying to band all the alumni together in this fight and not go one on, 35 do their thing,
right.
John Mack do their thing, Clark do their thing, and we're all in this together.
No doubt.
And you know what, Alicia, that's
thank,
a good
thank
thing.
Thank you, Ms. Alicia. Y'all have a great meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, JFK is right. back. Kennedy, yeah, I have a good friend of mine who went to Kennedy, and I would give him a hard time. He'd say, well, who's saying all I got? Y'all going to get beat. I said, well, who Kennedy got this week before there was Kennedy? But now Kennedy is back.
Let me say this
that's
about
David
Kennedy.
Duke School.
Let me say this about Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason why they allowed Kennedy to get that school is to keep the natives quiet, because that same land that they said was toxic,
mm-hmm.
that the school could not come back to, they then sold it to the Gulf City Park Gulf
Well, that's right. Well, that's right.
So
that's right.
If it was too toxic for the kids to walk on concrete, you tell me it's not toxic for those golfers to be swinging up that dirt, kicking up that dirt?
No doubt about it. Have a great Take Our Schools Back meeting and panel discussion. It's about the public policy, about our schools quality.
That's right.
Tomorrow at Milne. Folk, if you can, you don't want to miss it. It'll be a powerful discussion with people who've been
Thanks,
watching our system for years. Thank you so much, Ms. Alicia. God
All
bless
right.
you. Line two, Big Sad. Big Sad, you're on with OT and JT in there early, bro.
Brother Jeff.
What's up, Sad? How you doing, brother?
Yeah, we're talking about Pat Swilling. Mm-hmm. You know, man, his money don't matter. The brother's heart.
Yeah.
Because he rescued a young man. Mm-hmm. He adopted him.
Yes.
A friend of mine who's a co-worker of mine, you know, some stuff happened in a young man's family, and he adopted this young man, and he played at Brother Martin.
Yeah, okay.
And I think he's at one of the Georgia schools now. His name is Bruce
Georgia
Willing.
Tech.
So what he does with his heart is more important than his money.
Yeah, he should have sent that boy to St. Aug, but you know, that's okay. I know Pat has a history of sending kids to Brother Martin. I'm kidding, giving him a hard time. But right, you're right. You're right, Sad. What he did with adopting that kid was an incredible story. That kid went on and to have a great high school career.
And I just hope you keep mentoring him in the same direction that he's going and just stay on it, man.
Well, teach him the business.
Yeah. I know he did.
Yeah, teach him the business. And look, Sad, but I appreciate you too, man. And Sad, tell the missus hello, man. Tell her don't run old me at Walmart next time.
Yeah. And OT, guess what? I represent her well too, don't I?
Yeah, yes, you do, Papa. All the time, man. Have a good one, man. Great weekend too.
All right, thank you, man.
504-260-9265. I don't like what you and Miss Alicia said earlier about so much covert activity. Mm-hmm. These days, I never forget my father used to say he appreciated coming up where people were up front.
Right.
They were honest, they weren't politically correct.
That's right.
If they didn't like you, mm-hmm. Whether it was race or they didn't like your cologne or how you look, mm-hmm. at least you knew how to adjust your life then.
That's right.
And I think one of the problems we have today is that there's so much manipulation. Ozzie Lumpkin, man, Maurice Robbins, there's so much manipulation, there's so much covert activity. That is hard for people to adjust. And I agree with Ms. Alicia. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I would hope that people would be honest, even if it's about their dislikes.
That's right. That's right. If we, you know, political correctness is getting a bad name. People, I was watching late one night on Netflix something, a story about political correctness and how the Donald Trump has tapped into this anger about political correctness, and people view it as a way of minorities coming up and taking away rights from.
Well, Donald Trump then tapped into our anger about him too.
Well, that's true. But let me just say, he's doing a great job as president, and whether you hate him or not, he is doing his thing. You know, early on, you guys remember, and look at Lee looking at me again. Every time I say this, y'all think I'm crazy. Donald Trump is doing a great job as president. Now,
hold on a second. Wait. Early bird, what'd you say?
Wait. Go ahead.
Huh? What'd you say?
Uh-huh.
Slap the what out of
it? No, listen.
Man, I'm not putting my hands on that man.
Let me just see. Take
his temperature with a thermometer in the other end. Man, I'm not doing that, Early Bird.
Let me make you think.
Wilbur Marshall, Ozzie Lumpkin.
Let me tell you what I mean. You always say this. You always talk about how when white people get power, they run things. And
yeah, they use their power.
Well, this is what he's doing.
We're apologetic when we have power.
He is a great president for his cause. The man is turning. I mean, he is getting Supreme Court justices approved. He's changing the dynamic of this country. He is doing great things in this country. You may not. I mean, he is doing great things for his party and his viewpoint. You may not like it. You may think it's horrible. But in terms of getting things done, he's getting it done.
We're gonna rush Jeff to the emergency room here at New Orleans East. Dr. Davis, Dr. Nishanisha Davis, Jeff Thomas. Is on the way, Early Bird. No, Early Bird, I'm not doing that. I'm not committing him. That's my brother. That's my partner. That's my friend. When we come back, we're going to let you know what his temperature reading was.
And I'm going to explain that a little more.
And he's going to explain that a little more. And we're going to talk about, the monkey business in Florida.
Now I'd love to hear that.
We'll be back after the break.
WBOK 1230 AM. The People's Station.
You're listening to The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. Welcome back to The Good Morning Show. Oliver O.T. Thomas, the Early Bird, and the entire WBOK listening audience and everybody out there in Facebook Live land, or if you're texting 318-599-9265, give us a call and talk to us. The Good Morning Show with Oliver Thomas. The Early Bird, our monthly segment with MrThink504.com, Jeff Thomas, making New Orleans
think.
Think. If you're not thinking for yourself, then somebody else is what?
Thinking
for you.
That's right.
Thinking for you. 504-260-9265. The Good Morning Show. The livest, realest, uncuttest, purest morning show in the land.
Uncuttest. I like that. But listen.
Uncut, unfiltered, man, and sponsored by United Healthcare.
Oh, yeah.
Quality, affordable coverage. Don't leave home without it. And the Greater New Orleans Tourism and Marketing Commission.
Yes.
Brought to you by Big World Media. Jeff Thomas, I'm gonna turn to the Facebook folk because when we get into this conversation.
Okay. Uh-oh.
There is.
I'm back on.
You're back on. There's some monkey business.
Yes. Oh.
Going on in Florida.
All right.
Florida gubernatorial race.
Sure.
Potential to make history.
Yes. Yes. He beat.
What happened?
He beat the third. His name is Mr. Gillum. He is the Tallahassee, currently the mayor of Tallahassee, and is running for governor of the state of Florida, and won the Democratic primary, and is going to go against a Republican challenger for...
He won the Democratic primary.
He did, yes, sir.
And black man.
Black man. And he will be...
Florida. First,
yes, sir. Yes, sir. He would be... There have only been two elected governors in the history of this country, and we in Louisiana have had
PBS?
The first PBS Pinchback, who we need to rename Broad Street for, and right. I'm still going to work on that project.
Okay.
He was the first African American governor in the history of the country, albeit a short period of time during Reconstruction. But Doug Wilder in Virginia and I forget his name escapes me in Massachusetts just recently was the governor, and now Mr. Gillum can be the governor of the state of Florida. And his opponent, whose name escapes me and is not really relevant, but what's important is that he brought up
he
said that Mr. Gillum is an articulate guy, and so we know when people start saying that black people are articulate.
He speaks well.
They are insulting our intelligence.
You're different from the rest.
Yeah, most of y'all can't talk right. And so
you put a comma when you pause and a period at the end.
But he's very articulate, exactly right. But you know, listen, this is, you know, I'll give you a good example. Mitch Landrieu ran the same kind of campaign when he said, I know what to do and how to do it. This guy's just being blatant about it, saying we can't monkey this up. And it's the same racist viewpoint.
Well, wait. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
We have an African-American that's going to be in the primary against the Republican candidate for the governorship. Of the state of Florida.
Yes, sir.
I think it's the Mr. Gillum is a former mayor of Tallahassee.
Yes.
He beat the crowded field in the Democratic primary.
They outspent him 10-1.
And you're saying that his Republican opponent, and what happened is his Republican opponent said, "Hey, look, Florida can't monkey this up."
That's correct.
That ain't so subtle. That's not subtle.
We can't have any black guy being the governor of the state of Florida. I mean, it's racist. It is, and this isn't the era of Trump. And this is how Trump is being great.
Are
this
you
is
sure?
Part of the greatness
are
of
you
Donald
sure
Trump.
It was a? It was. It, he, are you sure me. It was cold? It was cold.
I don't
word.
Think it was cold. See, that's the thing. I mean, listen, this
he
guy
wasn't
came
trying to hide.
He wasn't trying to hide it, and he brought it real, and he said what he said, and he didn't take it back. He hasn't apologized for it, and so the fact of the matter is
that's Trumpian.
It's Trumpian, and so when I say Trump's doing great things, Trump is doing great things, and let me tell you, he is bringing out the best in
making
these people.
Making people feel comfortable.
They're comfortable in their righteousness of being. The nationalistic views of America being a white country. This is the reality of the situation.
So we can't monkey this. That's not subtle.
That's not subtle. No, that
doesn't
is,
he?
That's a dog whistle.
First of all, you know you're running against a black man.
Right. And listen, nobody says monkey this up. This is not a statement. This is not something that this is not a common phrase. But this is not something
he
you say.
He didn't mean to say mess it up.
No.
He didn't mean to say muck it up.
No. This is not a common phrase. Have you even heard this before? I've never in my 50 some odd years heard somebody say.
What kind of monkey business
this?
Is that?
Well, I've heard about that, but nobody's ever said monkey this up. This is when I'm running against a black man, we're not going to monkey. This is something. This is blatant racism. And the fact, though, is that he got a lot of support because he said that. Listen, we are in an
era. Well, how do you know that?
Because
it may backfire on him.
It may backfire. I don't know. I'll tell you how I know that.
I hope it does.
I'll tell you how I know that. His fundraising went up the next day. The next day he got more national money that came
like
into
George
his
Zimmerman.
Campaign. Exactly right. Exactly right. So listen, this is a time in America, and this is not part of what we were talking about, but I want to bring it up because I think it's important. And that is, this is a time in America where black people really, really, really need to be concerned. Let me tell you, the stat that the country is going to be a majority-minority country in the next 10, 15 years. The fact is, white people are going to be...
It ain't now.
It ain't now, but listen... White people are like 55% of the population right now. They're going to be 48% of the population. Mm-hmm. It's not that they're going away. It's not that they are suddenly going to have no power. It's that, now what's happening is, the reason that they're going to only be 48% of the population is that their population growth is stagnant. They aren't making babies at a high rate. But I've said this on this
show. So is the African American community.
Exactly right.
We're actually losing.
We're losing. We are now like 13%. We're going to be in 10%.
Right.
And Hispanics are zooming past us.
They're making babies.
Listen. And they're going to have political office. They're going to have political power.
And they stick together.
And they're sticking together. And so you see what Donald Trump is doing? He's setting the table for the way people govern. And it's going to – that's why I've been saying on your show, every time I come on, I've used this term, and it's critical, sanctuary cities. We need to have cities – because this is where black people live in cities. So we need to have political people and political power in cities, in municipalities around this country. Otherwise, we're going to be in a tough – we're going to have a tough road.
Man, let's get back to the lines right now.
504-260-9265.
Line one, Reverend Calhoun, you're on with O.T. Jeff Thomas and the Early Bird.
Them Thomas boys is rough.
What's up, Rev? How you making out this
I'm
morning?
I'm good this morning. But, gentlemen, not only do we need sanctuary cities, we need sanctuary sections of the city.
Mm-hmm.
We got some real issues going on. Racism is I've never seen it at the level it is today.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, Donald is doing a good job in promoting his ideology of race, of how to keep us under control.
That's right.
And unless we really start becoming very intentional
mm-hmm.
about how to deal with racism, because it's not subtle anymore.
No.
It's blatant. It's out there. I mean, I keep going back to our school system. If you don't look at our school system and see how racist it has become, you're telling me that it's okay to go play golf, what Alicia brought out, that ground is so toxic that we couldn't put a school back there, but we're going to put a golf course there.
Right.
But then when we look at schools like Lafayette Academy, that's being sent over to the old 35 high school, which they say has toxic and
asbestos.
So what's the difference? You're still putting children in harm's way. So I don't know. I'm just confused about where we are in terms of how we fight.
Well, let me say
every time
you step out your door in New Orleans, you're in harm's. Unfortunately,
right.
Our children are in harm's way.
Well, Rev, let me ask you. I think you're right. You laid it out perfectly. And what's important is that we have political leadership that has the political will of Donald Trump. And that's why I'm saying he's doing great things. He's laying out the template on how to govern. And this is what our mayor, our city council need to do. We need to govern for what's best for the people, the citizens,
a position of strength,
Norman.
Not a position
exactly right.
of
exactly
always
right.
compromise.
The attack that's coming at Mayor Cantrell, black and white,
mm-hmm.
man, I don't know how she's going to try to how she's going to survive. Because you know she did upset the apple cart when
There's
she
no
said that
it.
We're not going to allow those people to come in here and just take over Canal Street like they have done.
Mm-hmm.
Not about it.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, you're right.
But, gentlemen, I'm going to let you go.
Thank you, Reverend.
I know you have other callers, but I would love to see what real strategy is going to be produced to fight racism in our community.
Well, Rev, if you listen, I'm telling you, I'm so glad you said that. That's what we're going to be
Thank
talking
you,
about
Calhoun.
This morning.
Thank
and
you.
It's around this convention center hotel. This is exactly what we need to do. Thank you for bringing that up, and we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes.
Yeah, we're going to wait till we get to that, the strategy around race. But this is, I think it's what's troubling to me
mm-hmm.
is that this tone and tenor in this country where folk don't respect difference right now,
mm-hmm.
where people feel that they can make comments, disrespectful comments, that you're comfortable. You know, there's a certain thing called decorum, right? Mm-hmm. There's a certain thing of saying, you know, it's like my mother used to always say, yes, I could hurt your feelings if I wanted to, but I make a conscious decision not to. Yes, I could disrespect you mm-hmm. if I wanted that. You know, I could keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
But if keeping it real means hurting someone,
mm-hmm.
then there's another way to go about it. And some of the blatant stuff that's happening right now, we're having fun with it, Jeff, but it's real concerning. You said earlier is that people of color, even poor people, poor whites, man, mm-hmm. if they don't get it, if middle America doesn't get it, this is a scary time, in our, not only in our nation, but in this world right now.
Yeah. Well, I think it's breaking down on racial lines. And poor whites are going to stick with rich whites because they, mm-hmm. they, I mean, tribalism is what Donald Trump is all about.
You believe that. You, at the end of the day, even if it comes to you think racial identity and racial grouping,
I think that's what's happening in America today. I think what we're seeing, listen, the angst and anxiety that you mm-hmm. feel, that white people are feeling when they hear majority, minority, country, they are losing their country. We're talking about making America mm-hmm. great again, that's code language for mm-hmm. making America, white people strong mm-hmm. again in America. White people view affirmative action as taking away their rights. Listen, equality for us is oppression for them. It's a real phenomenon. We have to understand that. So when I say that we need to have equality mm-hmm. and equity, you're saying to a white person, I'm taking stuff from you. That's what they're hearing. You're oppressing me. And so it's a zero-sum game the way our country is set up right now. And because of that, people are built for tribes, and the white tribe is going to stick with the white tribe. Black tribes are
going to stick with the black tribe. The problem with that is that that is a recipe for destruction because at the end of the day, tribalism means battle for supremacy and battle for land and battle for respect, a battle for survival. Too much tribalism can lead to anarchy. And especially when you have tribes that may not be linked by anything common, but they'll be linked by certain interests to go against the status quo. And history says that when we reach a time,
which is why when white we reach people a place like black that, people,
that's a dangerous time.
This is why white people are upset when black people kneel for the national anthem. That means that you are, listen, white people will accept you as long as you want to be a part of their tribe, and that means being subservient to them, but you're on our side, and you get some of the benefits of being in America today.
Let's hope, like Reverend Calhoun said, we have a real honest conversation about mm-hmm. race where folk can highlight their differences but also realize that we have to live together on this planet and in this place.
Absolutely, positively right. Well, that's what we're talking about. We have a lot to go over.
And we're going to get, because I know what the solution to racism and all this other angst is, but we'll deal with that at the convention center. We got two constitutional amendments, man, that are real important, the 5-year ban on convicted felons
mm-hmm.
and the unanimous jury's proposal.
Right. So on November 6th in this next election, there are going to be six constitutional amendments that people are going to vote for. One is the 5-year ban on convicted felons being allowed to run for office. So that was something that you remember. You and I had Walt Leger on maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, when we fought absolutely. Against this and we beat yeah. this back and we held the line.
Derek Shepard took it to court. The state Supreme Shepard. Court said it was unconstitutional.
Right. Derek Shepard sat in the studio with us here.
Now you have the Missouri Senator Appel saying that trying to restrict the rights of people once they've paid their dues.
Exactly right. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
And listen, particularly when you're talking about the over-incarceration and mm-hmm. over-policing of African-Americans mm-hmm. and to limit their exposure or their ability to run for office is part of this whole paradigm mm-hmm. of white control and white supremacy. And the way white people have controlled politics, part of the way they've done it
is
through public policy. And this
gerrymandering.
Gerrymandering and also restricting access to voting of African Americans. And this is just another way to do it. And this is another way.
13th Amendment.
Exactly right. Where black people are now slaves. And, you know, slavery is legal in America today. If you are arrested and you are
convicted felon,
you are allowed to be a slave. You are now turned a slave. That's part of the U.S. Constitution.
Mass incarceration. Jeff Thomas, with this unanimous jury, when I saw the pushback from the Attorney General and other leading Republican or conservative officials. I was like, that's crazy, man. I mean, you know, especially when you talk about the Constitution basically says, the Constitution supports Senator Murrell's legislation that says there ought to be unanimity.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially in jury
exactly.
verdicts.
It's critical. Listen, it's going to be critical that we move our state forward. I said that we have one of the most progressive, and successful legislative session in the history of the state of Louisiana for African Americans. It's going to be true if we are able to do a couple of things. Now, this is going to take some tough we're going to have to educate the public, because first constitutional amendment is, do you want a ban, the five-year ban on convicted felons? The answer is no. But do you want unanimous jurors?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
Yes.
So we're going to have to educate people, because people are going to have to vote no on some and yes on some. So no on one and yes on two.
Right.
And so we need to come up with a snarky, catchy slogan so that people understand who aren't, you know, you and I are following this stuff, and we're talking
right.
about this a couple of months, 3 months out, and preparing. Most people don't know that there are going to be six amendments on the Constitution, that constitutional amendments that they're going to be voting for. But you can go to the Secretary of State's website and look at it. Not only are they listed, but they give you explanation of what it is, what the proposed constitutional amendments are. And so proposed constitutional amendment one is going to say, do you support an amendment to protect prohibit a convicted felon from seeking or holding public office or appointment within 5 years of completion of his sentence, unless he is pardoned.
And once a person pays their debt to society, how much more restricted can you get than
exactly
putting
right.
them in prison or jail?
It's up to people. People get the right to vote for who they want to vote for, and I think people should be able to be allowed to vote for whoever they want to vote for.
And the unanimous juries piece, we've dealt with it here before.
Yeah,
you were one of the first people.
I
mean, it's been said it came out of black codes. Even the white district attorneys have said it's rooted in slavery.
Right.
It has no place in American society today.
Exactly right. We're an outlier. We're one of two states in the country that have this. And I think I'm hopeful that we're going to do away with it. I think the reason we're going to do away with it is because there's a Republican wave in this Republican state to do away with it. It's part of the
It's gained a lot of bipartisan support. J.P. Morrell did a masterful job.
He really did.
Of getting bipartisan support. And support from all over the state for this. Let's just hope
that he did a good job on that issue.
Let's just hope we act as progressively as we sounded or were sounding with this particular bill.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Water bills. You know, this man, I was on a panel to discuss these water bills. This is the thing that I can't understand about Sewage and Water Board. How does the Water Board have the right to penalize citizens for $1 million contractor's mistake? Or for an agency mistake.
Listen, this is not the issue, OT. This is not the issue. I'm sorry. I don't mean, sometimes I'll come in and I beat you up. And I hate to do this, big brother.
You know, I can take a whipping and keep ticking.
You give me a chance, come on your show, and here I come with my stuff. And I hear that bump of music. But let me just say, the reason the water bills are so high is not because of the screw-up. That's not the main reason people are having sticker shock. I guarantee you there's another reason that is in plain sight. And if you went to Think 504 and you read this article, you know
you're going to tell us when we come back from break?
I promise to tell you the real reason your water bill is so high.
Tune into the Good Morning Show,
12:30
a.m. radio, Facebook Live. Jeff Thomas is going to tell us the real reason.
Yes, sir. Your water bill is so high.
The real reason why our water bills are so high. We'll be back after the break.
WBOK, 12:30 a.m., The People's Station.
You're listening to The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. Welcome back to the Good Morning Show. Oliver O.T. Thomas, the early bird, the entire WBOK listening audience, and Jeff Thomas.
Up there.
Now, Jeff,
yes,
hold on.
Sir.
Right here, breaking news on the Good Morning Show.
Yes.
Jeff Thomas, Mr. 504, he makes us
think.
Absolutely. And we don't always think.
Yeah.
And if you're not thinking for yourself, somebody else is
thinking for you. And making things bad for you.
And making decisions for
making decisions for you. That's right.
So, Jeff Thomas, breaking news right here on the Good Morning Show.
Yes, sir.
Why are the water bills so high?
All right. Before I give you that answer, let me put this in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
you know, if you old like you and me, you used to your
wait,
water.
If you're seasoned like you and I.
All right, you got me by 10 years,
what?
Big brother.
Who?
I know.
You're my guest.
I'm
gonna disrespect that remark.
You remember I used to come on and be nervous. Now I come on and
now you come on and you assault and you assault me.
I know. I'll tell you. So seriously, if you've been around New Orleans for a while,
right.
You used to your water bill being $35, $40.
Man, look, New Orleans used to be a place where you could not have a job, own a house,
mm-hmm.
and pay all your utilities.
Your water bill's $35, $40. That's right. What you're used to in your mind.
Right.
Conceptually, you know, if you had a lot of people in your house, maybe $60 was right. The cost of water.
All right, but what's the conspiracy? You're going to tell us.
I'm going to tell you. Yeah, so
you're
going
to tell us. I want these people to see you.
All right. So here, ladies and gentlemen of
this
Facebook
is why the
land,
bills are so high.
This is why the bills are so high. The city council passed a rate increase, 10% a year for 8 years. So let's say your bill was $40. At the end of 8 years, your bill is now $100. That's just simple math. So a 10% a year, every year you do 10% rate, the bills have doubled. Now you put on top of that. Added to that bill is your sanitation charge of $25.
Right.
Put on top
that
of
that.
That was double. So now that's $25.
But that's going to kick in again in 2020. That's right. Doubles again, I think.
But wait, no, wait. There's more, OT.
Listen.
This is what most people don't recognize.
He's making us think.
There's also a water meter charge on your bill. It's either $20 or $30, depending upon. For having a water meter at your house, you pay $20 or $30, depending upon the size of the meter at your house.
Right.
So if you got $100, your bill is now that same water usage mm-hmm. that you used to spend $40 for is now $100 just because the 10% rate increases.
So why haven't they disclosed this to the citizens, and why haven't they broken it down as such?
Well, you know, that's part of my – this is what I think is important, that this is why the Sewage and Water Board, in my mind, is struggling. They haven't been truthful and honest. When Cedric Grant came out and said, all the pumps that are available are working.
The pumps are working.
Yeah, we only got 10 of them. We got 10 broken, but two available that work, and those two are working 100%. So, I mean, that deception continues today. I think the Sewage and Water Board ought to just come out and say, listen, the city council 8 years ago voted to double your bills. So now you're paying $100 for that. We added on there $25 for sanitation. We added on there $30 for a water meter. So now you're paying $150 a month off the for the same amount of water.
So there wasn't full disclosure.
Well, people just are looking at this wrong. I mean, the fact is they just doubled the bills. That's part of – and who did that?
But how could they do that without at least some level of transparency and accountability?
Listen, you had the man who knew what he was doing and how to do it and what to do. He told you that this bewitchingly, beguilingly,
and who was that man? Who's the man?
The man who took down those monuments. He did one good thing. But let me tell you, everything else that he did in this city has been – destructive. It is part of the reason that this city is suffering right now because of the incompetence of the former mayor. This former mayor has, I mean, these traffic cameras that which the current
Thomas,
mayor
the man,
is struggling
surely
with.
The man did something.
The man
good.
Was incompetent. Yeah, he did. He took down the Confederate monuments, and now he's trying to run for president rather on that one move. But if you look at, and he didn't balance the budget. I mean, yeah, he balanced the budget, but he balanced the budget. I mean, on traffic cameras, that's no way to balance a city budget on punitive measures. You see, these punitive measures, this punitive form of government is going to it's hurting poor people. It's hurting a poor city like the
What's
city
the solution
of
with the Sewage and Water Board piece? Because there has to be. Let me say this: we can't live without. Listen, we can't live here without the water board, and folk can't live here without affordable water bill and affordable utilities right now.
That's
and
a tricky
people,
balance.
And people
That's
cannot afford the thousands of dollars they are in arrears right now.
Right.
There's 17,000.
Right.
And 84 accounts in question.
That's right.
If you just multiply that times 3, that's 51,282.
Right.
Okay, there are 10,000, about 10,000 folk who haven't even gotten a bill.
Right.
We can't cut those folks. Right. There has to be a solution.
Right. Well,
some
they
compromise.
Can't cut us. The compromise to me has got to, I said to you in this station once before, zero everybody's bill and let's go forward. Here's the thing, though, ladies and gentlemen. We have to pay water bills.
Yes.
We have to have a fully functioning water system. It has to be the best water system. We're in the city of New Orleans. We're underwater.
Right.
We got to be able to pump water out. We have to have a fully functioning sewage and water.
And the sewage and water board, they also need money so that they can maintain our system and work this. It's that important.
It's critical. We got to pay it. And if it costs $100 a month, then that's pretty much we're going to have to figure out how to get that paid.
Right.
So part of the problem is we got all of these other millages that are part of what the previous mayor did was, there's a
property tax increase in millages.
Property tax increases and millages that are pricing people out, and this is why gentrification is
well, let me ask you this.
Yes,
and,
sir.
Politics is something, but you Matt Cantrell inherited some stuff. You're saying that it's coming to light.
Yes.
But doesn't that happen at every administration?
It does.
So you're saying there are many things that happened in the last administration.
Yes.
That this administration and people had no idea would be such a burden.
Well, they didn't reckon. Listen, if you don't, there are unintended consequences. And so nobody knew. I don't want to say I was the only one saying it, but there were a bunch of people who were out there saying people can't afford to live here anymore. These millages, these fees, a lot of people were saying that. And so now you're starting to see the
reality.
The Brookings
Institute say we're the eighth most expensive city in America.
You're
right
seeing
now.
The reality of it. And
right.
So, what we need are living wages. And let me tell you, there is a way to do it. We've had historically a government that has not worked for us in the city. We need this to be a sanctuary city. We need this to be a place where government contracts flow to black people. Government contracts flow to African Americans who are qualified to do the work.
But at the end of the day, Mayor Cantrell is in a very unfair situation, but it's her situation.
It is. She ran for it. She ran
a remarkable
campaign.
People first.
I'm supporting her. I'm trying to do everything I can that she be successful. I want her to be the best mayor because we need this to be a sanctuary city. We need this to be a place where black people can be successful, happy, living their lives in the
Jeff
family.
Thomas, that gives us a segue to, and I think I'm reading you when you said, how do we end racism or how do we at least diminish the whole question about it? You're saying the convention center and major economic deals like this.
Yes, sir.
That's a way.
That is the way to do it. Let me tell you, it's very simple. It's very simple.
Right.
Let me tell you, one of the things that everybody talks bad about Ray Nagin. One of the things Ray Nagin did that was very good, that was great, is he gave that government, that garbage contract to two African Americans.
Created two millionaires.
He created some millionaires who have created people around them the money has spread out in the African American community.
Right.
And so now, you see Jimmy doing stuff with the airport. You see Alvin doing all kinds of charitable stuff around town.
Right.
And so that is how we do things. And so part of the problem has been that.
So if you want to deal with racism, you're saying you have to start economically.
It begins with economics. And so here's the thing. If you're talking about, changing the inequity, if you're talking about changing the balance, then transference of wealth is the way it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So wealth transfers from public money to private hands. And what has always happened in America is public money has transferred to white
people. Transferring wealth. That's like taking our country back. Let me tell you something.
It's been happening. The Bow brothers have been fixing the roads in the city of New Orleans for the last 100 years. They do a great job. We're talking about public money being transferred to private businesses.
The convention center.
This hotel, what is proposed is a $750 million
complex
giveaway. We're talking about giving away tax dollars over the life of this project. We're talking about transferring $750 million public dollars free, plus the money that they're going to make in the hotel. So it's a $1 billion deal. It's a $1 billion deal. That deal has to go to African Americans. It has to be, if it's going to happen. And if it's going to happen the way it's proposed, it has to go to it cannot go to Joe Yeager and Daryl Burgum and Mike Sherman. It cannot go to those guys.
Jeff Thomas, so you're saying if we want to deal with bringing some fairness to the discussion about race.
Yes.
Ending race is racism or some of the divisiveness.
Yes.
You're saying the best way to start is with major inclusion in economic opportunity.
I'm saying that's the only
way. That's the only way to start.
It's the only way to start. Let me tell you, this is a capitalistic society, right? I mean, mm-hmm. we've got democracy, but the economy is based on capitalism, haves and have-nots. And when we're talking about wealth and we're talking about government transferring wealth mm-hmm. to constituents, then historically in the city of New Orleans, which is 75% mm-hmm. African-American at some point, was transferring 80-90% of its wealth to white business owners. That money needs to be transferred to black business owners.
The disparity study was very revealing in that even with
done by Mitch Landrieu,
even with the conversation about 35% or 25%, even with the conversation about the benchmarks, mm-hmm. the reality is that the economic disparities, mm-hmm. the gaps in wealth, with the billions of dollars in recovery, with the private public partnerships investment post Katrina, the most revealing thing was that we've gotten in economically worse position. The earnings is a 18 to 20,000 dollar gap. The difference in wealth is a wider gap. So
So what the convention center is talking about doing, is taking. I mean, here's the proposed deal as it exists right now, to the best of my knowledge. They want $41 million of Orleans Parish residents' property taxes. That's what we're talking about.
But hold on now. The convention center is sitting on about $250 million. Their receipts, they get $18 to $23 million a year because tourism is booming. Mm-hmm. So every year they're going to rake off the top of those tourism receipts. Their percentage, bam, they're banking $18 to $25 million. Isn't that the convention center's money?
Well, let me explain. That money may be, but I'm talking about the millage that they're sitting on. They are sitting on right before Hurricane Katrina. Phase 4 of the convention center was proposed. A millage was passed by the citizens.
Absolutely. That was scrap.
And they never built phase four. But they still collect the money. The money is sitting in their bank.
Breaking news right
cash
here.
Cash money. Our cash money.
This is why the Good Morning Show is so important. Break it down, Jeff Thomas.
Our cash money, property taxes.
And we're going to have Vitamin Q come over the top from a lot of this stuff. With a millennial position, when Quincy Williams comes in, one of the top young bloggers in Thinkers in this town, he's going to give his take from his generation on a lot of these issues. Wow, Jeff, you're right. Even though Phase 4 was scrapped, because there's no need for Phase 4.
They continue to collect the money.
High five.
They got the money. Cash money is sitting in the bank. So this is what we're talking about. So we are talking about our tax dollars that they're going to give away to Daryl Berger and Joe Yeager. That's what they're talking about doing.
But aren't those two of our better developers? No, what makes them so bad?
Let me tell you. Let's look at Joe Yeager, for example. He owns 18 hotels, I think, mm-hmm. in the city of New Orleans. 18 hotels. Now, you know, black people work in hotels, right? Mm-hmm. And each hotel has a general manager. Out of the 18 hotels, New Orleans is 65% black. How many of those hotels do you think have a black general manager? Out of the 65% city, 18 hotels. How many have a black?
I think Jahid is the only one. Darius Gray used to be when he was here. I think the gentleman at the
I'm talking about the hotels that Darius, that no Joe Yeager owns.
I don't know which one he owns.
He owns like these small boutique hotels like the St. James, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Let me tell you how many general managers he has that are African American in a city that's 65%. Zero. Not one. Let me tell you something. Daryl Berger has had all kinds. He has been the recipient of welfare. I call these guys welfare kings. I'm sorry. I broke it down and people, I got hate mail for it.
Hold on a second.
Let me tell you. These guys are talking about taking tax dollars and spending it and putting it in their pockets. And they're talking about taking property tax money from poor people in the city. We struggle to pay our property taxes.
The chairman of the convention center board said that this investment, though, is going to yield so many millions of dollars in return. Chairman Rodriguez?
Give me a break.
Who's on that board?
Give me a break. First of all, the board is set up 9 appointments by the governor, 3 appointments by the mayor. So the problem is we're going to have to call City Hall. You can start today by calling the convention
the
center.
The mayor needs to put her own people on that
the
board.
Mayor needs, the mayor, Darren Meyer, I think, is one of her appointments. I think so. He's on the board. And I think he's one of her. I may have that wrong. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what. We need to flex our political muscle. And we need to call the governor's office. We need to call the convention center, 582-3000, and tell them to stop this hotel, that this the development. And this is the most important civil rights event that's happening in the city of New Orleans right now.
Taxpayer dollars.
This is taxpayer money that's going into the hands, instead of flowing into the hands. Listen, they aren't doing anything magic. Aren't doing anything incredible.
Jeff, I want you to slow down here because in the few minutes that we have left, and guys, we got Vitamin Q, man, great young millennial blogger. Personality, Quincy Williams, we're going to deal with a lot of these issues from his take and his generational take. But, Jeff, I really think when you talk about answering the questions about racism, sexism, all this other discrimination, I actually think you're right. I think an economic solution where we're lifting up people and including them, and it's an economic pie, whether this is globalization right now, whether this is disaster capitalism, I think kumbaya-ing conversations about that's race and gender, I don't think that's worth anything anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think Quincy's going to double down on that because young folk nowadays, they don't want to hear about kumbaya. Mm-hmm. They want to know about where their opportunities are. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, Jeff, billion-dollar airport terminal extension deal, Gentilly Resilient Grant, $140 million. World Trade Center, about $350, maybe possibly $400 million. The Sewage and Water Board, where the mayor, the board, is going to control about $2.4 billion. Public Works at the city, major street recovery work. You're saying that the centerpiece of dealing with race and discrimination and some of these other things, if the centerpiece of it isn't about economic opportunity, then all we're doing is talking.
Let me tell you, for African Americans, it's dire. We talked earlier about the plight of the lack of growth in the African American community in terms of population. Right. We talked about that we need to have sanctuary cities. Sanctuary cities, in my mind, means that we need to have all of these contracts in the hands of competent, qualified African Americans. And so that's going to be the thing.
They shall participate, especially when you're using public funds.
And let me just say this to you, OT. They are talking about a massive giveaway. They're talking about giving these guys, let me tell you what they're talking about at the convention center, giving them $41 million cash, writing a check. Here's $41 million. They're talking about the most expensive and available land downtown. They want to give it to them.
Next to the World Trade Center, that
giving
is prime
property. Giving it to
property.
Them. It's worth $28 million. Right. You can have it. Just take it.
Right.
You know what? And then, you know what else they want? We don't want to pay any property taxes on it. They aren't going to pay any property taxes on the $28 million. But wait, there's more. There's more. When they build the hotel, they want money from taxes generated in the hotel.
Then let me ask you this question. This is important. And I said here before last week that I think when you talk about boards and commissions, that you know, the mayor needs to erase everybody on these boards and commissions.
Yes, sir.
Put her own people there. Put people there that will follow her agenda. What about the voices from the African Americans who serve on these boards? Airport board, convention center board, Superdome board. How important are they in terms of building economic opportunity and ending these discussions about race through building economic opportunity? How important are they, and why are their voices so silent?
You know, I think I've served on boards and commissions. You served on boards and commissions. I served with Alicia Plummer out in New Orleans East on a board as a commissioner. And we were vocal. She was vocal. I was vocal. We made points, and we tried to push that agency into success. Part of the reason I think people, they view it as an honor, and they view it as they are beholden to their appointer, and they don't want to do anything to upset the person.
What about
who's
their conscience, and what about an agenda for people?
They are happy to be able to say, I'm a commissioner of the blankety
I'm
blank
on the
board.
Airport board.
I'm on
the
board.
The Superdome
I
board.
Do this, and I serve, and you know, they don't say much at the meetings.
But many of these board members, they leverage opportunity for themselves. Prime positions.
Your
status automatically increases if you're on a prominent board. People wine and dine you.
So that's
you
why
take
they
trips,
don't
you
rock
travel.
The boat. So that's why they are complicit in what happens on these boards and commissions, because they profit personally, financially. And if that's what you want to do in your life, that's fine. I can't argue with a man for making money. A man wants to make money, yeah. But I want to make money and help the community, and I want to make things better in this city.
Now, don't forget, Andronica Morris raised her voice. They got her kicked off of some boards.
Oh, yeah. She was – I love her. I think – you know, I've never met her. I've seen her and been in her company, but I've never – I really want to talk.
Before
to
we leave, I mean, before we Vitamin Q coming on, guys, you all want to miss this conversation with Quincy Williams, one of the top young bloggers and writers and voices in this country today. Vitamin Q, right here out in New Orleans.
Hey, put that back on you,
Jeff. I want you to tell us.
Yes, sir.
If we used economic opportunity.
Yes, sir.
To deal with these the stuff about race and gender discrimination and class discrimination. Tell us what kind of New Orleans would we see?
Right. So we would see a place where crime would be minimal. You'd hardly see any crime. You'd see great education. You'd see black people.
So if black folk and African-American women made more money, you're saying we'd be safer?
We'd be safer. We'd have a sewage and water board that works, so when it rains, we don't have to worry. We'd have great schools, so our kids could go to school and not have to fight with the policy of hair, because our great public school system here would be doing a great job and welcome and a diverse audience, a group of kids in the schools. We would have a place where parks are available, where we could walk, where we could all be healthy, happy people. And that's what it's about. Health, happiness, and wealth go together.
So there's some benefits. There's some social benefits to African-Americans and women. African-American women, as a social class, there's some benefits to them making money and participating economically.
Yes. Listen, 85% of people who commit crime don't own their own homes. We have a huge blight problem in this city. If black men were able to own their own homes and black women were able to own their own homes, the crime – homeowners are invested in their property.
What are some of the other benefits? Safer streets.
Clean streets. People getting along. To me, we would have a happy, healthy community. That's what it's about, where people can raise their families in peace, love, joy, and happiness. And all that kumbaya stuff that we talk about that we want, it's the reality of what we can have.
So you're
people
saying,
have money to spend. We'd have a vibrant economy. We'd have
Jeff Thomas.
Yes, sir.
You're saying, can the kumbaya? You're sounding like some of these millennials right now.
Uh-uh.
You're saying, can the kumbaya, right?
Let's get some money.
You're saying, can the kumbaya?
Yes, sir.
Let people have them make a living wage.
Yes, sir. No. More than a living wage.
Saving wage?
Exactly right. Money where everybody, a living wage is barely making it.
It should be mandatory that they're part of these major contracts that use subsidies and public dollars?
Absolutely.
Mandatory.
Absolutely.
And you're saying our social climate dealing with crime, education, families, you're promising that it would change.
I promise you, not only that would it change, crime will go away. Listen, part of the problem, you won't have these drug problems.
I agree.
Part of the problem that crime in this city is based on poverty. Poverty produces crime. We have rampant poverty in the city of New Orleans. Until we get rid of poverty, we're not going to get rid of crime. And the way we get rid of poverty is through economic opportunity. And the way we get economic opportunity is black people having businesses where they can hire our own. And so when we are able to do that, then the city will be a great place to live.
Jeff Thomas, the founder, the editor, the CEO of Think504.com, making people
think.
Because if you're not
thinking
for yourself, somebody else is
making the decision for you and thinking for you.
And thinking for you. Jeff, man, appreciate anything you want. How can people get in touch with you? Speaking engagements, to log on to think504.com?
People just browse to think504.com. There's a contact us page. A lot of people contact me. I respond directly,
yes, you do.
Personally. I take the time to do it. Sometimes I get overwhelmed, but I respond to everybody. And I'm looking forward to, you know, the website growing and doing bigger and better things. It's growing.
How many subscribers do you have now?
We're about 252,000 people who subscribe. And so we want to get to – we get about a million hits a month on the website. We want to get to that 3 million hit month,
right,
per month hit, and then we will be a national website.
We want to make people
think.
We got Quincy Williams, man. Vitamin Q, man. We're going to get our dose of Vitamin Q, man. That's
I'm be listening. I can't wait to hear the brother.
No doubt about it. His take on what's happening. Y'all want to stay in, man. I'll stay tuned. Vitamin Q is in the house, y'all. I've been telling y'all he was coming. He's going to be here. His take on these issues and so much more, one of the top millennial bloggers and writers and journalists in our country today. And he's from right here in New Orleans. We'll be back after the break. Love y'all. God bless you.